This has been my 10th World Cup. The first one was Argentina in 1978, which was a wonderful experience for a lad who'd never really been outside Europe. And to think that you go down to Argentina and experience the World Cup and that marvellous match that Archie Gemmell dominated for Scotland against the Dutch, that lives long in the memory. But to think that all these years on, I'd be notching up number 10, it makes me very proud, and also very proud of RTE and the fact that they've been doing World Cups for that length of time and doing them in such style that they've won a place in the hearts of the Irish sporting public. It's great to be involved in it. It's great to be here. It is Brazil, after all.
And on that, in footballing terms, what better a country to be in for the greatest event sport has to offer?
Well, you know, when the European Championship came to England in 1996, they had a little theme song, and it was about football's coming home and all that. And in a sense, football has come home to Brazil too, because they are the masters of the modern beautiful game. Of course, when it all began, they weren't the stars. It was Uruguay who were the top South American team. But since the 50s, when they exploded onto the stage in Sweden with the youngster Pelé at 17 years of age, and have since gone on to win all those World Cups, to win outright the original Jean-Rime trophy for winning the title three times, and then to win it twice more. And they are the team that set the benchmark. They are the team who excite. And there can be nothing more exciting than seeing the Brazilians in their famous canary yellow shirts and blue shorts dominating the picture as they sweep forward in wave after wave. We just hope that the Brazilian team of 2014 vintage can live up to what's gone before, because they have certainly given football and the World Cup some of its most memorable and exciting moments.
And thankfully, not one of the countries wearing the single colour kit for the 2014 World Cup. Well, that's a different argument for a different day. your initial reaction in terms of the anticipation and what the mood is like, as much as you've been able to gauge it in Brazil?
Well, we've come to Sao Paulo for the opening of the tournament tomorrow and the first match, which of course is Brazil against Croatia. And to put this in context, Sao Paulo is Brazil's biggest city. It's the biggest city in the Southern Hemisphere. 20-odd million people live here. And the first thing that strikes you about it is its vastness. And then when you take that into account, maybe it's not surprising what I'm about to say next is that there isn't a great deal of World Cup anticipation about. And from my perspective, it doesn't look like this has anything to do with the fact that there is a sizable swathe of the population that isn't happy with all the money that's been spent on the World Cup. I think it's more to do with the size and scope of the place. It's such a big, big city that it's quite possible for an event, even as global as the World Cup, to pass it by, because it's huge. It's just mile after mile and acre after acre of built-up area and motorways and traffic jams. Like, to put it in perspective, the 25-mile ride in from the airport yesterday morning, which began just about 6 o'clock in the morning, took just 6 minutes less than 3 hours. That's what the traffic is like in Sao Paulo. It's an absolutely vast place. And that said about the fact that there isn't necessarily that much tangible anticipation on the streets because it's such a vast place, there aren't the banners, the flags, and the bunting that you would expect, say, if Dublin was hosting a World Cup match, because it's a much tighter, much more manageable size of a city. But for all that said, it is like Munster playing rugby or Dublin playing football. That the flags are on the cars, that people are going around wearing the colours. You can't get away from that Brazilian flag and the notion that the football team is about to play. So what I'm really saying is, it hasn't taken off yet, but as soon as the ball is kicked tomorrow afternoon at 9 o'clock in the first match, as soon as that first ball is kicked, I think the anticipation levels will rise.
And George, in terms of the preparations, even as recently as 10 minutes before we started this conversation, I'm looking at Jonathan Nordcroft from the Sunday Times tweeting that he had non-FIFA regulation chewing gum taken off him on the way into the Maracanã because it wasn't manufactured by an official partner, and TV crews giving out about not being allowed to film the areas of the Maracanã that are far from ready or completed ahead of the tournament. On the ground, as much as you've been able to measure it, are there genuine concerns about Brazil's level of preparation, or is it sensationalist from the international media?
I don't think any major tournament can take place without a level of hype about how unready or how wrong it's likely to go, because that's the nature of the news business. Good news isn't news. And so there has to be, if there's something not right, then that will be highlighted. And let's make no mistake about it. The facilities aren't all ready. They aren't. But it's a bit like you, Damien, if you're having people around at the weekend and you decide on Saturday night that you're going to decorate the front room and you don't quite get it finished. You'll make the best of it and you'll turn it into a reception area to be proud of when the folks actually turn up. And that's the level that they're at now. We went out to the stadium to get accredited yesterday. That's the Corinthians Stadium here in Sao Paulo, the big team that's been World Club champion. And it from the outside, we didn't go inside because it's a vast area, the way they build the modern stadium. You know, the huge sanitised area around it. And you can see what they were trying to do. do, but they haven't quite got there yet. And at one end, it looks like it's a temporary stand that's been erected, the kind of thing that you we saw on a much smaller scale in the Shamrock Rovers Stadium in Tallaght when they were playing the European matches and they had to put in fill in both ends to let the crowd swell. So they've made sure that there'll be room for everybody, but the stadium is not yet complete. We went into an adjoining building that's just about complete. You can still smell the concrete, and that's where everybody was queuing up to get their dog tags. And that is as complete as it needs to be. I think that's about the level of it. They'll get by, but the plans that they had haven't come to fruition, and there will be those issues that will still arise. And on the business of the chewing gum being confiscated, that's been happening for years, because these big events, FIFA actually takes over and for the period of the event owns the arenas in which it's taking place. It's almost like an independent republic is set up within an independent republic, and FIFA plays by its own rules. And that's what happens. You've got the water that isn't the standard issue water, they'll take that from you as well. It's just the way it is. That's life in the 21st century, in the commercial reality of the 21st century. That's the way it is at the World Cup. The same with the old credit card. You want to use your credit card within the confines of a FIFA area, it's got to be the one that you see advertised around the stadium. They won't accept the other one. Simple as that.
Your thoughts on what appears to now be quite a coordinated UEFA push against Sepp Blatter, and is it getting much coverage in the Brazilian press?
It's not really, you know, because that hasn't extended itself into the consciousness. The big Blatter story here is the fact that it's FIFA has come and brought the World Cup to Brazil and sucked all this money out of the Brazilian economy to create the World Cup. That's the big story at the moment. Of course, yes, Blatter doesn't have many fans in this country, but in terms of the internal politicking of FIFA, I don't think they're really into the nitty-gritty of that to the extent that we might be, because of course we are really interested in what's happening with Platini and the way the story has broken over the past number of weeks in the Sunday Times, that we think that perhaps this is a big push by UEFA that might actually lead somewhere. But in terms of Brazil's focus is more on what it's cost. The average Brazilian's feeling is that this is costing far too much. It's great to have the tournament, we want our team to do well, but we might have been spending the money better on other things. And that's their focus on the Blatter-led FIFA.